talked about last time. We talked about the sacraments of the anointing of the sick. Remember that? Austin, remember that really well? You're being anointed, you know, demonstrated. Yeah. So the anointing of the sick, remember, is a sacrament for those who are already baptized and but in danger of death because of sickness, injury, or old age. So when giving the anointing is the responsibility of the priest. Only the priest can give the sacraments of the anointing. If the person is capable and the person have to, that person should go to confession first before receiving the anointing. In the case of somebody who do not able to confess, then the anointing will also take away mortal sin if the person have at least in perfect contrition, sorry for sin out of fear. And then last time we also talked about Christian burial, right? We talked about that there is the funeral rites, and then we also talked about burial and Catholic cemetery last time. Any question from last time?
No backyard.
No backyard. Yeah, no. You don't have to bury into the backyard, and not swimming pool either. Yeah. So, where are we now? So it's the other 327, huh? Oh, 330. Okay, sacraments of holy orders. So the sacraments of holy orders, so people ordained to serve, and also people ordained to offer sacrifice. Now, there are 3 degrees of holy orders. Deacon, we know we have a deacon in the church, the Filipino man, Deacon Raul, deacon. And then priest, myself, and then bishop. So those are 3 degrees of holy order. So usually a person become a deacon first, and then become a priest. And then among the priests, roughly around 100 priests, one is being chosen among, usually among 100 priests, one is being picked as the bishop. And the bishop is the head of the local church. So I don't have the exact number how many deacons we have in the world, but we have around over 400,000 priests in the whole world. More than 400,000 priests in the whole world. And there's around a bit more than 5,000 bishops in the whole world. And then, of course, a good portion of them are retired bishops. So roughly around once in every 100 priests, you got a bishop. So it's not a big chance to be a bishop. You have more chance to be a priest than a bishop. Okay, so to be a deacon, a deacon is a holy order for service. So in the Acts of the apostle appointed 7 men to serve the poor so that the apostle themselves can focus on prayer and teaching. So the deacon were ordained for service. So the priest and the bishop is ordained for sacrifice, to offer sacrifice, to be the middle person between God and the baptized faithful. So the priest, of course, the 2 important things the priest do is to offer the sacrifice of the Mass, to change the bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus, and also to forgive sin. Hear confession, forgive sin. So those are the 2 important things the priest do. And then the bishop has the fullness of the priesthood. So the bishop, he is the one who governs the local church. He is the one who ordains men to be deacon or priest. And then if you are ordained a bishop, you need to have a bishop to ordain you to be a bishop. And the bishop will assign priests to different parishes. So that the bishop is the head of the local church. Does that make sense? So deacon, priest, and bishop. Okay. So if for holy order, how is that going to be done? In the ceremony, there's the holy order. What happened is that the important thing is that the bishop had to lay hand on the man to be ordained. And after laying hand, the bishop say a prayer of consecration to consecrate that person either as a deacon or as a priest or as a bishop. Depends on the ceremony, right? And within the prayer, there's one part that will call the Holy Spirit down on the person. And that's the exact moment when that person become a deacon or a priest or a bishop. And there are some other ceremony as well for deacon, because also you can preach, and so there is the handing the gospel to the deacon. For priest, because it's to offer sacrifice, so the priest's hands after ordaining is being anointed with the chrism oil, and then also is present the chalice to the priest, the newly ordained priest, because offer sacrifice is important for the priest. And then for the bishop, when he was being consecrated, also there's a gospel over the head of the one to be ordained bishop, while the consecration prayer is praying over the one to be ordained a bishop. And after the consecration prayer, the chrism oil will be poured on the head of the bishop, of the new bishop, because it's the fullness of the priesthood. And then we'll hand to the bishop the crozier, you know, the staff, the pastoral staff, and the mitre, you know, the head and the ring. Bishop wear the ring not on the left hand, but on the right. He used the left hand to carry the pastoral staff, the crozier. He used the right hand to bless the people. Make sense? One time there was a bishop who got ordained, he got the reverse. He was holding the staff on the right hand, he blessed people with the left hand. Yeah.
What happens if he's left-handed?
Maybe he is left-handed. Anyhow. So, but actually, it should be the right hand. And then, I think it's also there's a particular, if you are the ordinary, if you are if it is your dynasty, I think the staff is facing the front. And then if he is not your dynasty, it's facing the back. I forgot which one. You know, so if you are the local ordinary, you also hold the staff in a certain way. You know, the direction is also depends on are you the ordinary of the dynasty? Okay. So in the good old days when Pat was still young, there is something called Ember Day or Ember Week. Page 332. That's the traditional day when people got ordained. Nowadays, it's not quite observed. But in the old days, four times a year, spring, summer, autumn, or winter, there is 1 week, you know, in each of the season called the Ember Week. During that week, people will fast. They will fast. You like fasting? No meat, no fasting. So they will fast on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And then on Saturday will be also the day for ordination. So that's the good old days. Usually, I think the Ember Week is like in the spring, is the week after Ash Wednesday. That week is Ember Week for spring. For the summertime, it's the week after Pentecost Sunday. That's the Ember Week for the summertime. And then for the fall is around September 14. There's a week around September 14, and that's the Ember Week. And then for winter, I think it's around December 14, something like that. December 13. Then that's the Ember Week. So those the whole week, you know, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, people fast, and on Saturday they ordain new priests, you know, or new deacon. Make sense? Yeah. So nowadays, usually people got ordained early summer, you know, because in the late spring, because ritual usually finish seminary, like in mission is finished in early May, So what happened is that our bishop, you know, he usually make that like. He ordained deacon the Friday before Ascension Sunday. And he ordained priests on the Saturday before Pentecost Sunday. So whatever that might be, every year, different day. But he set a day, one for deacon, one for priest. And that's usually what we do here in the Archdiocese. Now, you know, in my time, we got to pick our own ordination day. Because it's we have five of us ordained in our year, so we all pick our own day. So I pick May the 30th. And then the other, they pick June 1st, June 16th, June 18th, June 23rd. So we five of us, we pick our own day. And then in the old days, people have also the minor orders. So people, they would be tonsure, huh? Tonsure, they touch the, cut their hair. Cut their hair, you know, a hairstyle. You know, they would cut their hair. And then the porter, they look after the door of the church. And then the latter do the reading. The exorcist cast out the demon. But actually, you can bless holy water, I think, something like that. And then the acolyte serving the mass. Subdeacon already, they promise celibacy already. They live a single life, dedicated life to God as a subdeacon. And they also have the obligation to recite the divine office. Live like a monk already, with the divine office, subdeacon. And then deacon is a sacrament now. Deacon is a sacrament. And then priest. And then bishop. So that's a different degree of holy order. The picture on page 333. And then page 334, then you see the power and the duty of priests. So the priests, we have to pray. We pray the breviary. We pray the divine office. You know, the morning, evening prayer, night prayer. You know. So nowadays, in the old days, you know, remember, Pat, in the old days, the breviary is always prayed in what language? In Latin, in Latin. Nowadays, it was translated into different language, So I usually do my breviary in Chinese, And then when I'm praying with people, like in prayer group or with friends, I pray that in English, yeah. And I got a Latin breviary in Vancouver, sitting there with dusk. I haven't used much, but I usually use either my Chinese one or my English one, yeah. When I pray the Chinese one, I'm most alert usually.
Before Vatican II, was it in Latin?
Before Vatican II, you had to pray that all in Latin. Yeah. And so, a lot of time, I heard that people say that a lot of time, priests doesn't really know what they're saying. Especially when you're talking about Martin, which is today always a reading. You know, because the reading is, it's more complicated. The psalm, because I think in a sense, a beauty about the old briefly is that the psalm, it's only 1 week cycle. So when you get used to that cycle, it's week after week, it's the same prayer at a certain time. So you somehow get used to that. It's like the Mass, you know, it's the same, it's a identical Roman canon every single day. So even though your Latin is not that good, if you attend Mass every day, you just know by heart how to say the Mass. Because it's so standard. So anyhow, you see the breviary, And then the missal is the prayer, is a book for the Mass. So we say Mass with the missal. The ritual is a book of blessing. So you can bless, things. You can bless actually car. You can bless vestment or chalice or rosary. Bless thing. You can bless places, like a house, a school, a playground. You know, you can bless some places. You can bless people. You know, a pregnant woman, wedding couple, and a anniversary of wedding, you know, or, you know, so elderly people sick, you know. So you can bless different kind of people. So people, place, and things, different kind of blessing. Okay. And then the other book, you know, is the, Martyrology. Martyrology is a book that is not, we still have that official book, but we don't use that every day. In the good old days, okay, it was way before I was born. In the good old days, that is, you know, nowadays we know the divine office. You have morning prayer, mid-morning, midday, mid-afternoon, evening prayer, night prayer, and midnight prayer, the matin, 7 times a day. Okay, quite a bit. I know it's scary for you. It's 7 times a day. But if you are a priest, a nun, you do that all, every day, no problem. Okay, and you get used to that in a part of your daily life. You pray. In the good old days, even longer. Because in between morning prayer and mid-morning, you got something called prime. Prime is the second morning prayer. Because many, many years ago, before Pat was born, it was thousand years ago, the monks, you know, they do the morning prayer, and then they go back to sleep. So to prevent them going back to sleep, it was introduced another morning prayer called the prime. Prime is a second morning prayer that focuses on the struggle people have, you know, to work hard, you know. It's like it's almost like you say the first morning prayer for the church, you say the second morning prayer for yourself, for your struggle. And so in the old days, a lot of time in prime, after they do that second morning prayer, they also read from the martyrology, which is some today who sing the church commemorate, you know, and one or two sentences to say about the life of that person, really, really brief. So that's what that book for. It's the kind of the martyrs and the saints. Nowadays, a lot of the religious order, because we don't have prime anymore for the new divine office. So usually what happened is that the religious community, they would, at the table reading, they read from the life of the saints. They read from the lives of the saints. So that's become a daily reading from the life of the saints that you, you don't mention all the names the church commemorate, or they will pick a few saints and they have a biography. So you somehow focus more into the life of a particular person. So, and so in the abbey, you know, who is the one who writes the life of the saints? Who is the monk who wrote the life of the saints?
Was that Boniface?
Boniface? No.
St. Ambrose.
Father Augustine. Father Augustine. His life of the saint actually used by, not only in the abbey, to use a table reading the night before the saint's day. You know, if let's say tomorrow is St. Catherine, they will read that the day before in the evening meal. Not only in the abbey they use that, some other religious community around the world, in English speaking, also use that book for their reading. So it's one of the best light of the saints. It's actually local production from the Westminster Abbey. You know, it's from Father Augustine. That, you know, his book is actually used by religious community for their reading, so that they know about which are the things coming up for the next day, you know. So it's a pretty good book, because I like the saints, right? So I got a lot of life of the saints in my library, in my own collection, and for daily reading I still found that his is the best one for daily reading. Yeah. So, and then pontifical. So pontifical and the ceremonial of bishop, basically they are both for bishops. When bishop do confirmation and bishop do special blessing, you know, or ordain a priest, then there's special book for the bishops. So bishop have special ceremony too. You know, like bishop bless holy oil during Holy Week. Bishop ordain people to be deacon, priest, or bishop. Bishop confer the minor orders in the old days. Nowadays, it's only the function of acolyte or letter. Or bishop would be the one who would be able to, like this year, year of mercy, you know, actually the Pope is the one usually to open the holy door. Sometimes bishop can open the holy door. So those are the bishop functions. Only the bishop can do it. Yeah. Make sense? Cardinal is bishop. Cardinal is bishop. They are bishop with special title. Just like priests, we are all priests, but there are a few priests in the diocese, special title called Monsignor. It's an honorary title. If you are Monsignor, you can wear a bit of a purple. Not all black, but some purple or some red decoration in your classic. And then also, you can wear purple robe. And And so in our diocese, we used to have more Monsignor, but they become bishop. You know, there are seven Monsignor, four of them become bishop. And then so we have three left in the diocese. Bishop Monsignor Rossi, Monsignor Ludebert, and also Monsignor Smith. We have three Monsignor left. The other four, they are all becoming bishop. Yeah, so.
Are they Monsignors appointed by the, is that title given to them by the Pope?
Yeah. Usually the bishop asks the Pope to give that title to priest, Monsignor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and then they talk about the two classes of priests, secular priests and religious priests. Which one I belong to?
Secular
priests. Yeah. So all diocesan priests are those who belong to a diocese. They are bound to obey the bishop. They may not change from one diocese to another without the consent of the bishop of both dioceses. Some people ask me, are you going to transfer to Toronto or elsewhere or China? The answer is no, because I belong to Vancouver Diocese. But, you know, people ask the question because their second class of priests is called religious priests. Okay? Now, the diocesan priests usually in charge of parishes. And then religious priests or regular priests are those who are members of religious orders or congregations such as the Augustinian, Benedictines, Dominicans, Franciscan, Jesuits, Redemptorists, Salesian. Religious are bound by the three evangelical vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. They vow obedience to their superiors and live in the community with their brethren. Not all members of religious communities are priests. Many take the religious vows but do not receive the sacraments of holy orders. That is, they are not ordained and they are called brothers. So in the religious order, they all are religious, right? You become religious by making the vows. And then when you become religious, some of them, they just religious, so they are called brothers. But those who become priests, they of course, they are also called father. Huh? So in the Benedictine Abbey, in Mission, there are lay brothers. And then we have priests. We have brothers and priests. Okay. So, the chief duties of priests. So, celibacy. So, we priests do not marry, imitate Jesus. So, and so we serve God. And then also we call to be spiritual father for the people. And then the priest, an important duty is to must read the divine office. So we do the divine office. I tell you that usually I pray that seven times a day. So that's what we do. I know it sounds scary for you, seven times a day, but it's okay. Yeah, it's a joy to pray that many times. It's like playing with the angels. So, and then also when you got dressed outside people, when you pray, you feel more at peace, you know. Yeah. So that's why, you know, to be a saint, you have to pray, right? When you got dressed out, you pray the divine office and you can maintain your holiness. Yeah. So, and then also, a pastor must be ready to visit the dying at any hour of the day or night. Even though the patient be suffering from a contagious disease, he must instruct his people and guard them from harm. A pastor is a shepherd of his flock. And then also hear confession, you know, give the sacraments. And then religious or regular priests generally devote themselves to prayer and to the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. They have charge of schools, hospitals, orphanages, and other charitable institutions. They organize mission, retreats, and engage in press work and religious propaganda. In the old days, that word is okay. Nowadays, we hear this word, it's interesting feeling. Yeah. And then also, a lot of time, you know, religious priests also as missionaries. Like, a lot of the missionary priests first came to Canada are religious. Because, you know, usually you find diocesan priests more when the church is already more established. You know, when the church is already built up, regular people, you have regular parishes, then you have diocesan priests, because you have local people becoming priests. Then it's more local boys becoming priests that start the parishes. But when a place is a new place, you know, it's a pagan land, you know, people to just open the new place there, you know, then a lot of time it's a missionary, the religious order, they send there and they live a poor life, you know, then they start there. So, you know, like the Jesuit, when they started in the 16th, 17th century, they sent missionary to the Far East, you know, to North Africa, to even to Canada here. The first missionary, the martyrs, they are Jesuit. So they are missionary. So it's a lot of times it's like that. When a place first started to have a Catholic religion, it started by the religious. And then when the church got established, then they have local bishop, you have local church, and people becoming priests in the local area, then you have the local church, then you have the diocesan priests become more numerous than religious. So like in this diocese, if you look at the details of the every parish history, a lot of the parishes in this diocese are run by the Oblate, the OMI, the Oblate of Mary Immaculate. You know, they are the one who start the diocese here. So the first bishops in this diocese are all oblates. Many parishes, when they first start, the first pastor, parish priest, is an oblate. Because not much around. You know, they have to start building a house, you know, using a hall as a church, you know, like in the school over there, you know, the free classroom was the old gym, before that was the old church. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the first pastor here is the oblate too, right? Thing.
First pastor here?
Yeah.
No, Father Sully? No.
She is not an oblate.
No.
Yeah. So this one is, some other one is quite lots of the oblate, the first pastor. Yeah. So to start something is not easy. You know, oftentimes to start something, they have to, they take time to build the church. A lot of time in the old days, they build the school first. And then the school also have the hall used as a church as well. Because when you start the school, people come, and then you build up the community, and then you can build the church next, you know. And then, so in here is the school built first, and then the church next, and then the parish center. Yeah. Because when you have the school, the community built up, then you have more people, then you can build the church. And then when you build the church, people come, and they complain, no space for meeting, where are we going to meet? There's fight for meeting space, and then you need the parish center. Yeah. And even in parish center, they may fight for space too, you know, like we have to, you know, they use that room, you have to be here. You know, so, yeah. So it's like that. Lots of churches are like that. Okay. Makes sense? And then, so respect to the priest. So hopefully you show respect to the priest. That's important. Okay, next session. Okay, so these are the vestments for bishop, you know? So beautiful, Beautiful. So you have the, something they use for holy oil to give confirmation. You have the crozier, the ring, the cross they wear. And during Mass, they have the pallium for archbishop, the mitre. Mitre usually, when the bishop is saying prayer out loud, or prayer being offered out loud, the bishop put down the mitre. And then when the bishop is listening, you know, like listening to the reading or what, something like that, he put on the mitre. Okay. So usually when the bishop is an official prayer offer out loud, mitre off. And then other time, mitre on. Usually it's what happens. Okay, and then the big crown, you know, the threefold crown of the Pope, you know, to signify the fullness of the priesthood, but also the kingly function and the teaching prophetic function. Yeah. Okay. Any questions? Okay. Why don't we take a little break, and then we can come back, and then we talk about the sacraments of matrimony.